This is WFAE Talks. This week, lawmakers re-enter the fight over control of Charlotte's airport.
This bill was dropped on us. We had no idea that it was coming. We are all very suspicious of any attempt of Raleigh to just get in the middle of this fight.
In Mecklenburg County, voters may be asked to approve a sales tax hike to fund teacher raises and a few other things.
It's our duty at the county commission to do the best we can to find a sustainable plan to provide for appropriate teacher compensation. And we think this is a sustainable way to do it.
But first, we are in the presence of a National Murrow Award winner.
Hurrah, Ben Bradford.
Thank you.
So, big announcement on Monday, or not Monday, we found out Monday and it was announced Wednesday, about your story you filed last summer from Raleigh over Moral Monday protests.
Yeah, right, exactly. You said, you know what, I feel like we need to go out there. We knew that these protests were happening at the Capitol every Monday. They've been happening for some time. You said, you know what, I think we need to go out there, and you sent me up there in the in our news van, and
the rockin' news van.
Oh man, the news beast, and sent me up there, and basically, I'd actually started down here in Charlotte with a group that was driving up there, and they didn't make it into the story. By the time we got around to writing it, it didn't really fit. But I'd been following them up because there were buses of people going up to the protest. That's kind of how large they were. But ended up going up and going to this church where before the rally actually starts, right? So they're all going to end up on the lawn in front of the Capitol building. And then they're going to go, and a lot of them are going to go inside, and some of them are going to get arrested and all that. But before all of that happens, they're at this church. And the first image that I used in the story was these women tearing apart these strips of cloth that they're making for armbands for people who are going to get arrested in it, so that the police know these are the people to arrest.
And it was so fascinating that, you know, there is so much coordination. Mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, I imagine there was, but I think listening to your story, it kind of just really hit home, like how coordinate, you know, how organized the protesters are, how organized the police are, how organized they are in their efforts together.
That's right.
And you mark yourself and say, hey, I want to be arrested.
And, yeah. And I don't know how many formal, you know, what kind of, you know, if there have been formal talks between the two. But over the course of these weeks of protest, you know, you have people who are going to be arrested as, you know, as sort of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? There's sort of acts of civil disobedience,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not disobedient, really.
Well, I mean, it is. You're still you're committing a crime, and you're going to have that, and you have to go into court, and all of those sort of things. But at the same time, right? You know, you don't want to have I think that, you know, the police are doing their job, and the protesters are doing their thing. So at a certain point, everybody's kind of ready for it.
Yeah, they're on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it.
And
they're on the same page.
The other part was when the police were basically saying, hey, you got to clear out now, otherwise you're going to be arrested, you know, and, you know,
that's right.
They
give them the heads up. And then in addition to that, the reason that sound in the story exists is, of course, because I'm still in the room. I'm on the side with a lot of the people who, if you don't want to get arrested, we're in the rotunda of the Capitol building. Well, we move off to the sides, back past this sort of arbitrary point, and then where we can watch the police, you know, put the zip ties that they've come prepared for with onto the protesters, and then lead them out to the van that's going to take them to the buses, because they have buses ready to take them over to the jail. And that's kind of what we were struck by that I was struck by when I was up there, was just sort of, you know, beyond anything else, just, I mean, how this works, sort mm-hmm. of the, you know, how passionate people are and how much they, but also how much they prepare. I mean, in that church, right, not only are they tearing up those strips of cloth, there are also most of the speakers who are going to speak over this loudspeaker system on the Capitol lawn, and are going to, you know, fire up the protesters and all those kind of things. They give very similar speeches beforehand. It's almost like their practice run before they go out and do it. So, you know, really struck mm-hmm. by all of that, and wanted to give a sense of, first of all, what was happening, but also just kind of the way these things happen. But, you know, I don't think I ever really thought of it as, I mean, I was proud of it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a nice story. Mm-hmm. But it didn't strike me as something like, oh, yeah, this is head and shoulders above, you know, anything that, you know, that we do on a regular basis. I mean, I really don't think it is. And so, you know, not really, don't want to, you know, toot WFAE's horn, you know, too hard here. But I mean, I do think that we, you know, I mean, that it is just sort of, you know, another, you know, it's another story. It's a good story. It's another story mm-hmm. that we did, though. And it doesn't, you know, it's not, I just think we do, pretty routinely good work.
And you turned it around in a night. I know this was the breaking news category, but I just curious.
Hard news reporting.
Hard news reporting. Thank you. I'm curious, what time did you do an edit on it, which this would be our editor to us, Greg. Yeah. And then what time did you actually get this in?
Right. Okay.
I mean, that is a lot of reporting during the day and a lot of going through sound during the night and writing.
It was abnormal in that respect. It was that I drove up and, you know, it was 3.5 hours in the News Beast and drove up and, you know, and recorded it. And the protests didn't start, I want to say. It was a year ago, so it's hard to remember. But it didn't start until maybe 3 p.m. and didn't wind up until, you know, 7, if not later, after the arrests and everything. Went over to a Denny's and needed some food and ordered something and started writing the script. And so wrote most of the script in a Denny's until my computer died. Had to beg the hostess to let me charge it at the hostess stand. Emailed what I had over to Greg. And then we talked briefly in the car before I headed back. And Greg took a look at it, emailed me back. So I started driving back. I got back to the station at maybe midnight. And then so finished up another draft of the script. And then, you know, had to record it and mix it and all those kind of things. And by the time it was done, we got the first version on the air at 6:30, and it was done at probably 6:28, and then cleaned it up a little bit for the
last second
for the 8 o'clock. I know, right? who would have thought? And then did a more polished mix because there is a lot of sound in there, and so, you know, making sure that it flows smoothly and that it doesn't all of that kind of thing. Got done, you know, at maybe 8 and went home. I got home by 9.
Let's segue to the next subject, but with the airport. But, you know, obviously, you know, you've received a lot of congratulations this week, but we're all very proud of you.
I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, it's nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, the airport, we thought lawmakers were done with this in a way. I mean, we knew they weren't satisfied with the outcome. They're waiting on the FAA to decide who is the rightful manager of the airport.
That's right.
And, yeah, there's a lot of background to this, and
that's right. But
now they've gotten back into it.
It's this really surreal fight that kind of exploded out of nowhere last year, which was all of a sudden the General Assembly the Senate, really, the state Senate, was moving this bill to create an independent authority to run Charlotte Douglas Airport that would have all of these state appointees and appointees from everywhere else in the region, as opposed to the just the city council running it like they have for decades. And in terms of the actual metrics of the airport, you know, it's run very smoothly, I think, by most accounts. And it's
unless you're trying to park there now, but that's another story.
Yeah,
right. In terms of that, but you know,
the elevator in the parking deck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's obviously you're right,
Okay, let's stay on topic. We just have to
no. I'm sorry. Do you guys want to complain more about the airport? I know my flight was late last time too. Ultimately, the General Assembly passes this thing that creates a commission to run it, which is a little bit different than an authority, but not worth getting into because it's boring. But they create this commission. They do create it. And then the city sues, and a judge puts the commission on hold. The commission exists but doesn't have any power because of the back and forth between the city and this is sort of where we were joking with some of the other reporters at the first meeting, and the commission was joking amongst themselves. It was sort of this existential crisis. It's like they're – because – most of their appointees are from the city, either from the city council or from the mayor. And so they weren't even sure that they should exist. Not even everybody on the commission wanted them to exist. Really surreal situation. But it's been tied up in court. And ultimately, the judge has asked the Federal Aviation Administration essentially for the decision. The FAA gets to decide, you know, what airports have the licenses to use national airspace, and the FAA had kicked it back to the judge and to the state attorney general. And so then all of a sudden the the Senate, the same sponsor, Bob Ruscio, who's Mecklenburg County Republican, who'd sponsored who'd kind of led the charge initially. And the bill, the way that they're classifying it is that the bill essentially clarifies a couple things that the FAA had said that it couldn't determine without, you know, the judge or the attorney general doing it, right? So it says
basically directing the city to support the commission.
That's exactly right. So that's what actually happens in it. So they're talking about it as, oh, this bill, it clarifies, but there's a section in it called Section 9. And Section 9 actually says that the city council, the mayor, and the city manager have to do everything in their power to get this commission in power.
Mm-hmm.
And that if, you know, the FAA decides that the commission doesn't have authority, then the city council needs to do some things to make sure that it does have authority.
And they have to advocate.
They have to advocate
on behalf
for it.
The FAA.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
I've never seen anything like it.
What a convincing case they would make.
I've never seen anything like it. And I don't know. And I don't know whether that's just whether things like it do exist or whether it really is unique. Of course, I asked the city attorney, you know, if they'd seen anything like it, and they said, well, listen, we're in ongoing litigation, we can't talk about it and so forth. And, you know, they wouldn't answer if they're going to continue to sue or not. You know, they didn't comply with the first law. They sued over it. And so there's no reason to think that they'll comply with this one either.
Well, they sued and got, they were allowed not to.
That's right. And they did create, and true. That's right. And good point. And they made the commission, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, as they were. As the law said that they had to do. But I don't think there's any reason to think that they'll just kind of go along quietly with this either. But it is pretty amazing. I mean, it basically says, I mean, you know, if you were to do everything, and I'm not a lawyer here, I don't know the kind of the legal implications of this, but the law as it reads to me like, you know, if you're going to have to do everything in your power to get this commission to go forward, then isn't that also kind of ordering you to drop your lawsuit?
Basically, yes.
Yes.
So this came out of nowhere on Monday. And then on Wednesday, the Senate actually passed the entire thing. Now it's in the House, and we're waiting to see what happens there.
Another big topic has been in the legislature this year, teacher pay raises. Of course, there's different versions, proposals out there on how to increase teacher pay. And then Mecklenburg County Commissioner Trent Fuller this week came out with Trevor Fuller has his own proposal to increase teacher pay for teachers in Mecklenburg County. Go ahead and tell us about that, Lisa.
Yeah, so basically the county budget that the commissioners agreed very quickly on last night would not include a pay raise for teachers, which is what CMS had requested. It would allow them, if the state had, for example, a 2% raise, they could match that, but they could not, you know, give their own raise. But this week, Chairman Fuller came out with a proposal that he says he has the votes for that would basically bring a quarter cent sales tax before voters in November. And so most of that money, 75% of it, would go toward pay for all CMS employees. So it'd be like an additional supplement. And that would break out to probably, you know, something like $23 million a year for CMS compensation.
So how much of a pay raise would that come out to for teachers? Do we know the breakdown of how that would be divvied up at all? Is it just across the board pay raise?
I don't know the details on it. I imagine it would be across the board CMS employees, not just teachers.
Right.
But there haven't been many details discussed about this. But the thing is, when you have a sales tax before voters, you can't even on the ballot say what it's for. You know, the county commission can say this will be our policy for using this sales tax. But, you know, let's say a new board comes in, they could change that policy. So a lot of this hasn't been hashed out at this point. But now the rest of the sales tax would go toward CPCC, the Arts and Science Council, which has been trying to figure out ways to come up mm-hmm. with a better funding stream.
And they're extending their fundraising campaign because they failed to meet their goal.
Yeah, and then the libraries would be the last part of that then.
And those have been cut. A few years ago, the funding for libraries was essentially cut in half, right?
Yeah, it was a big cut. Now, a lot of that money has come back.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it. It's still a few million short, but yes, about 5% of the tax would, they say, go toward library.
And to reiterate, it's 0.25 cents on every dollar for sales tax?
One quarter of 1 cent on every dollar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, and you know, we already have what is 2 cents that the county charges. And this would be the last final piece of the sales tax that the county can levy without getting authority from state lawmakers to do more.
Now, we do have other taxes that are kind of follow within these guidelines, that they're dedicated, but they're not official policy, or like the transit.
Yes, the transit tax, for example. You know, that's been around for a long time, but yeah, we do have some others.
I guess the one thing, though, if the legislature ever does really do what teachers want, but if they did give them a big raise, I wonder if there's any commissioners come back later on and say, oh, we'll just divert this money somewhere else because there are other needs now that the state is doing its fair share.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. It's not, there's nothing legally that would, you know, keep them from doing that.
And we were talking about this in a little bit in our news meeting. It kind of cuts both ways. I mean, the reason to do that and not, you look at something like California, where I'm mm-hmm. from, on the state level, you've got the proposition system, right? And the proposition, when you vote for something on there, it becomes law, and the only way to repeal it is through a proposition vote. And if you do something like, let's say you say, okay, we're going to do a proposition, we're going to do a slight raise to a tax, and all of that money is going to go toward zoos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have something like the 2008 recession, and they're scrambling for money. Well, guess what? The legislature is constrained, because there might be a pool of money somewhere, yeah. And they might think, you know what, this expansion of zoos, we don't really need to go through with it right now. Well, hey, guess what? That's already been voted on, and that money has to go there, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there are kind of both. So on one hand, you know, voters could have less control over it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it does give more flexibility. I mean, that's sort of what the policy rationales for why these
zoos.
Works there. They do have very nice zoos. That San Diego Zoo is just fantastic.
All right. We are running a little bit long on this week's show. So this week's Mega Meter segment, the third installment, will be a web extra on our website, which you're already on our website if you are listening to this. By the way, we will soon be available on iTunes. There's been a technical hiccup, but we will be able to download us from iTunes
for the price of nothing.
For the price of nothing, yes.
Yeah. are you going to tease us on the Megameter? What is it?
Oh, the Megameter.
What's the topic this time?
The assignment she chose to take gave her a few options, but it has to do with a press release by Forward North Carolina over Tom Tillis and his support or alleged support of extending the film incentives.
Okay, so this is a liberal group attacking
yes.
Tillis over his stance on film incentives.
Yes.
Got it.
And said his support for extending the film incentives has melted like ice cream in the summer.
Wow. And so she's going to fact check that.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys. Number 21 is in the books. WFA Talks.
Blackjack.
All right. Thanks.